This is a podcast from RTE Radio 1.
Hello and welcome to Audioscope. I want to start today's programme with a plea on behalf of all people with sight loss. In late April, we had a very warm spell, and this was followed by a rainy spell, as you remember. And this resulted in the garden starting to grow like mad, triffids all over the place. Not only the flowers and the grass and the shrubs, but hedges and trees. Now, I'd ask you to check the hedges and trees at the front of your house. Are they overhanging? We people with sight loss walking past your house cannot see the overhanging hedges and trees, and we can suffer some horrendous facial damage when walking into such thorny hedges or overhanging trees. So come on, do what you can to make life easier for us. Cut back that overhanging hedge, please. In fact, now that I think of it, there might be some legal slant to this and could result in insurance claims apart from medical bills. Thus endeth the first lesson, which rather neatly brings me into my guest, because I have online Sister Breed Smith. Listen, you're welcome to the programme, first of all.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Now, you're going to talk to me about, believe it or not, yet another cycle. When does this take place?
Now, the Coastal Cycling Tour of Ireland, as it is called, mm-hmm. is starting on the Sunday, the 1st of July, in Carrickmacross. And it's starting at 9 a.m. bright and early and sharp, and heading off in an anti-clockwise direction up through the north.
That's the other way, in other words.
Yes, exactly. And away off up through the north and Donegal and down the west coast, and reaching Galway on the Sunday, the 8th of July. Then continuing right on down southwards and across the south of Ireland up the east coast, and concluding in Carrickmacross on Sunday, the 15th of July.
Okay, now we want to go back a bit here. You're starting in Carrickmacross. Why?
Well, in Carrickmacross is the seat, let us say, of the Carrickmacross Cycle Club. And they are the organisers, headed by my brother, Michael Smith. They are the club that is organising this tour on behalf of two named charities.
Those being?
The National Council for the Blind of Ireland and Carrickmacross Cancer Society.
Right. Now, I just want to clarify something at the start. Sister Breed, you are actually taking part in this, not on a bike.
I'm taking part in it on a tandem.
Right.
I'm going by tandem. There are many other people doing various stages of it on tandem. I personally plan on doing the whole 1,250 miles on tandem.
This is not new to you. You've done quite a bit of this before.
Oh, I have done a lot of cycling with the National Council for the Blind.
You're a blazing saddle nun.
I am a blazing saddle nun, exactly. I have cycled in Ireland with them on all their training camps, and I've gone abroad to various countries with them, to Argentina and Chile and China.
Various places. Years ago, nuns went to the missions, right? Went out to the missions, right? Now nuns go on bikes, right?
Well, maybe that's my mission, you see.
Exactly, exactly.
Maybe that is my mission.
So, no, and then you're heading up through going up the east coast, then across Northern Ireland,
across,
isn't that right?
Across Northern Ireland, yes. And then the Inishowen Peninsula.
Yeah.
And then across to Dunloe. How many? Now, what we envisage is 30 cyclists, a core group of 30, 25 to 30 cyclists will do the whole, undertake the whole challenge of 1,250 miles. And then as we progress around the country, we invite cyclists from all the local clubs and from Blazing Saddles, members of the Blazing Saddles who are scattered all around the country, to join us for as many of the stages as they can possibly manage.
Oh, that's
whether
interesting.
That be one or 15 of the stages. And it's a bit like, we envisage it, a bit like the, you know, the tourist bus where you can hop on and hop off at will.
Yeah. On your bike today and then get up there to, and then go back.
Exactly, because people may need to get back home or back to business or whatever, but they can join us then when they are free again.
Does it? And it finishes up in Carrickmacross again?
It finishes up in Carrickmacross, yes.
Now, what sort of preparations have you done for this? Are you looking for sponsorship? Have you got sponsorship? Is there fundraising? How's it done?
Yeah, well, Sponsorship, yes, for the two named charities. Mm-hmm. So we have sponsorship cards, which are available from, I'll give you the contact numbers at the end, mm-hmm. and the official sponsorship cards are available from these contacts. And so we're inviting people to take one or as many of these sponsorship cards as they can possibly fill and to approach all their friends and foes and colleagues and anyone who would be willing to sponsor them, because there is no entrance fee for it.
Right. And so, look, what sort of training have you done for this?
Well,
yourself now, come on, Brie.
Oh, myself, yes. Personally. Oh, I'm on my spin bike every day for the best part of an hour. Every day I have a spin bike here in my room. And I'm on that for the best part of an hour every day. And then I am out on my tandem. I have got a most lovely new tandem, courtesy of National Council for the Blind.
Right.
And a lovely new Cannondale. So I'm out on that. And I have got a number of wonderful pilots around Dublin here. And
so you're putting in the miles then?
Oh, I'm definitely putting in the miles. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Breed, here's a question. You're vision impaired, right? Do you have any sight at all?
I have some peripheral vision, yes.
Okay.
But no sense.
How do
vision.
You feel that people treat you as a non? Because I'm sure they know once you get into them, where to go in with them. I'm sure you know that as you get in with them, that they're aware that you're a non. Do they treat you any differently?
No, not at all. Oh, no, I would be very much part of the group, and they wouldn't say, you know, sometimes people have an image maybe of a nun as being somebody who's a little bit maybe
You say it, not me.
Well, but I don't think they would find me like that. I think they would find me
I know they wouldn't find you like the nuns that used to beat me anyway. But
well, sometimes.
I deserved it. Go on, say it. But yeah. I'm interested in this cycle now. It's all around the coasts, right?
Yes.
And as you go along, it's going to take 2 weeks to get round.
Two full weeks. No rest day at all for those who do the full thing. It's a real personal challenge.
Even on Sunday?
Not even on the Sabbath. No, not even on the Sabbath.
The Lord rested on the Sabbath, so the nuns told me.
He did. Well, now there you are. We are going the full 15 days. So it's real, it is serious cycling, but it is also a fun cycle, because it's not a race. And you know, we have a lovely outline map of Ireland that gives all the details of the route and the
Breed, my producer's whispering in my ear, on your bike, Bollard. I can hear him now. No, I wouldn't be fit at this stage. But
yes.
I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to talk to you when you come back.
Very good.
About your experiences.
Very good.
And how it all worked out for you in the end. And I know you, being the nun that you are, I've got 3 or 4 Child of Prague in the garden. Right?
Well, we will need that to get really good weather for us for those 2 weeks. That will make a difference. Hopefully we will, because it's the first 2 weeks in July.
Oh,
and usually
absolutely.
The weather is good and the days are long and the days are warm.
It brings a whole new meaning to the nuns. You'll be flying up a mountain and you'll be singing, Climb every mountain. Yes, you will.
Yeah.
Breed, Sister Breed, can I thank you for talking to me?
Well, Joe, can I give you the contact numbers?
Give me the contacting
numbers.
Yeah,
because
please.
That would be important, because people are contacting us all the time. So I'll give you Michael Smith's number, who is like the tour operator.
Yep.
And his number is 042.
042?
96.
96.
69
756. 756.
And
right.
Preferably after 6 p.m.
Preferably in the evening time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then my number, Sister Breed Smith, I'll give you mobile first, and I can give the landline. 087.
087.
29.
29.
059.
059.
50.
50.
Or landline.
Landline.
01.
01.
And then 280.
280.
56.
56.
75.
The blessings of God on you.
And And we encourage everyone who can get on a bike at all to come and join us for the fun and for the exercise and for the personal challenge and for the two charities.
Exactly. Sister Breed, God bless.
Thank you very much indeed, Joe. Great talking to you.
I have on the line Avril Daly, who is the Public Affairs Executive of Fighting Blindness. Now, Avril, I want to talk to you about fundraising adventures you've got organised for this year. First of all, on the last chat with Sister Breed, we finished off by singing Climb Every Mountain. Now we're going to climb a mountain, right? Because, well, I'm not, but you are, and some of your friends are. Isn't that right, from Fighting Blindness?
That's right, yes. In September and October, we're taking two groups to Everest Base Camp. So it's a very exciting challenge. And the challenge lasts for about 2.5, close on 3 weeks. So it's a very exciting event that we are very much looking forward to. We've had phenomenal interest in this event, and people are getting very excited about taking part. So there are two treks going out. The first one is going in September and the second in October. So,
well, let's take the first thing first. Everest Base Camp?
Yes, that's right.
Never very good at geography. Where's that? Now, don't say it's on Mount Everest, but where exactly?
Well, it's in Nepal. You know, it's you have to go through on the way to, if you're going to climb the peak of Everest, if you're going to climb the mountain, it's in that mountain range.
So you start from there.
It's the last point before you actually go to the top of Mount Everest.
I presume that people then would have to fundraise for this event, first of all.
Yes, it's a fundraising event, and all of the funding or the funds then go to Fighting Blindness to support our research and our counselling centre. So, yes, it's very much a very important fundraising event for us.
Yes, we had Paul Norton in on the programme with us last week.
Paul gave us
wonderful information about Fighting Blindness and all the great work that they do. But I'm thinking in terms now of this trek to Mount Everest. How would you train for such a thing? If people here in Ireland, we haven't got a Mount Everest to train on.
Well, we don't exactly have a Mount Everest, certainly, but we do have fairly good mountain ranges around the country that will certainly put people in good stead for the actual event itself. We offer training walks and provide training walks to the people who are taking part, as well as the nutritional information and various different training information that they would need. So certainly, I mean, you wouldn't be able to go on this event unless you have, you know, done some training.
Exactly.
Because obviously, not only is it, over 2.5 weeks of you know, being in a different climate, but also there's altitude involved as well. And also, you know, I mean, it's significant walking, you know, so, you know, it's a very much something that you would have to have a lot of stamina for. And of course, that stamina would need to be built up. And I was just on a training walk actually on Sunday, and our coach was very pleased with us and thought that we started off very well. So hopefully we'll continue.
I'd just like to point out here, this is not just for people with sight loss, is it? It's for the general public.
It's for anybody. Anybody who has an interest in doing something that's just that little bit more challenging, that, you know, it's something that you've always wanted to do and kind of said, how would I ever even get there? How would I ever even approach going on something like this? So this is an opportunity to go in a safe, controlled environment, but also and to, you know, reach that challenge, that objective that you always had, that you perhaps thought you'd never get a chance to do, but also raise funds for people with visual impairments. And I think it's important to stress as well that these events and these treks are always, there's always people with visual impairments of various different descriptions that take part in these events.
So you have a vision impairment yourself, right?
I do, that's right.
And are there any other people with sight loss taking part in it?
Yes, there are. Yes, absolutely. So,
do they create any special difficulties, Avril, for people with sight loss getting involved in, you know, the logistics like climbing over rocks and scrambling down ravines and things?
Well, people with visual impairments would have a guide with them.
Aha.
So therefore that they have somebody who can help them over those more difficult terrains, you know, so somebody who can maybe, I know some people with visual impairments have problems on, you know, climbs, whereas other people have problems with descent. Do you know what I mean?
So I know exactly
depending
what
on where the difficulty is, I mean, for example, I would have a problem going down the hill, but I'd have no problem going up the hill. Do you
right.
know?
Yep.
Because everything just appears flat to me. However, you know, somebody else might have more of a problem with the climb up, not knowing where to put the foot and all of that. So, I mean, it depends on what the requirement is for the specific person. And the guides and the people on the treks are obviously very, very well trained to deal with all eventualities.
Tell me about Morocco.
Yes, Morocco is a very interesting event that we're holding in October. It's primarily a trekking event, so there's 3 days of trekking in the Atlas Mountains in North Africa there, but also there are 3 days working in a local community. So you're working and helping with tree planting and you know, trying to interact with the local communities, with the environment there. So that's something slightly different. So you get the trekking, you get to do, you know, the challenge, but you also get to not only help fighting blindness, but also help people who are disadvantaged in that area, you know, in various different ways. So that's something that we're very much looking forward to and has been very successful. I mean, people are very, very interested in that kind of the whole point of doing something for two completely different sets of people, do you know?
They are exactly two totally, well, I was going to say they were poles apart. Yeah, but the thing is that when you're helping, when you first of all helped by fundraising, for fighting
yes.
blindness, then you've got the double satisfaction of going in and helping with a local Moroccan community.
Absolutely.
Is this the first such event of this type by fighting blindness?
Yes, this is the first time we've done an event like this, where we normally do a lot of various trekking events, be it various degrees of difficulty or whatever. And, you know, we just by talking to people, they were like, oh, you know, wouldn't it be, you know, we integrate with the communities when we go on these treks. The treks that Fighting Blindness do, you're actually staying within the community, you're tenting it, or you're in a log cabin, you know. It's not one of these, you know, going off on a nice little holiday. It's a real trek and a real challenge.
Do you have Sherpas?
People really love, oh yes, absolutely, and people really loved the part of being in the community and having that real genuine experience.
I think that's what would appeal to...
We just really want to expand on that, really, and that's what this trek is, to expand on the sense of being involved in a community that otherwise you wouldn't get an opportunity to do this kind of thing. So, I mean, people, you know, I think it's important, you know, that Irish people are very... They're really interested in other cultures and learning about other cultures, and this is a wonderful opportunity, and they really want to help.
I think, Avril, that's what would appeal to me, would be taking part in helping other less fortunate, and I hate that
Absolutely.
Expression, communities, and getting involved with, as you say, the local Moroccan community. It's not the local blind community, though, is it?
No, it's not, actually. It's in an area for disadvantaged children. And you know, so it's helping them plant trees and kind of, you know, interacting with the local community there. But I mean, it is quite a disadvantaged area that the people will be staying in. So I mean, it will give people. I mean, I suppose in this day and age, Morocco to us sounds like an accessible holiday destination. However, it's a very large country and it's very divided in that way. You know, I mean, there is a huge tourist element with with your beach holidays. But you know, there's also a very, you know, different parts to Morocco, hugely steeped in culture, fantastic culture, and also, you know, unfortunately, it's not they're not as fortunate, I suppose.
There's a lot of poverty there.
There's a lot of poverty there. So, you know, it's a good opportunity to see that. I mean, in a country that you think, oh, Morocco means beaches. You know, Morocco is a very vast country, and you know, obviously it has the fabulous mountain range, but it's also got quite different. The landscapes are quite different to what maybe people would expect them to be.
Now, people, first of all, two questions. First of all, people
yes.
going on these treks will have to have various shots and vaccinations and things, or will they?
Yes, the best thing to do would be to talk to our office staff. I know that there are certain vaccinations for certain people, so we would know exactly where you get those and which they are for each individual country. I'm not entirely sure you need a vaccination for Morocco. However, you would need one to go to Nepal. You would need to have a vaccination. So that is one little slight disadvantage to going, you know, but I'm sure it'll be
well worth it.
Well worth it.
Secondly, is there a closing date for either of these two projects that people need to first of all contact you, which you'll give me in a moment, but is there a closing date that you have to have all these things in?
Yes, there is a closing date for the trek to Morocco, which is coming up, actually. It's in June. So, you know, I mean, maybe there's about, I think it's the beginning of June is the cutoff point for that. However, for Everest is actually quite full at the moment. There are a couple of spaces in the in each of the treks, the one that's going in September and the one that's going in October, but very, very, very few spaces left. So, I mean, if you wanted to go on the Everest trek, I would suggest best thing to do is to call the office and talk to one of our staff there about it and get more information and see if it's for you. And, you know, I mean, we can obviously hold your place then if you express an interest. But it has really, I mean, two treks have sold very, very quickly. It's amazing how interested people are in taking part in something like this, something that's hugely challenging and you know, a kind of a once in a lifetime experience, really.
So where do people contact you? Where do they write or phone or email?
Well, they can contact us at our office, and our telephone number is 01-709-3050, and our email address is info@fightingblindness.ie, or you can log on to our website, which is www.fightingblindness.ie, and all of the information is there's links to all of that information on our homepage. So it's all there for whoever is interested.
Avril Daly of Fighting Blindness, may I wish you and everyone who takes part in it. Unfortunately, once again, I find myself saying that unfortunately I can't get along. I don't think I'd be fit enough to start with. But can I thank you for talking to us?
Thank you very much, Joe.
Just before I go, I'd like to remind you that you can download a podcast of today's programme from the RTE website. My thanks to producer Dave McHugh. Joe Bollard wishing you well. Travel safely. God bless. Bye.